Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
It's the NBA Prospects Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. So many different things y'all could believe in, but y'all chose to believe in us. Rob Bruin, T. Rose, I'm back down close to New York City. I'm in Long Island, New York, back in the building. Feels good to be home. Troy, talk to me. What's good?
I'm glad you made it home to your neck of the woods, man. I'm very sad and I'm disappointed that you will not be joining me at Syracuse next year. But, you know, I know my boy's still right there. He's not too far. He's down in Long Island. I know you'll pull up on me.
Oh, that's a fact, man. And you know what? It's all on you this year, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's time for you to take over, you know, make a few people nervous. And, you know, show them what time it is. You had a little bit of time to do what you needed to do with your family and for your body. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you are physically fit and ready to get into your work, man. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to do this year up at Newhouse, too. It's a lot of work to be done, brother. A lot of work.
What a lot of people don't know is, you know, last year I had to medical leave my first semester at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I was out living my hoop dreams with my good brother here, Robert Bruin.
That's a fact.
And, you know, and we were at the rec, and I thought I was Jordan for a second.
I caught the bounce pass
from Rob. I went to the rack. I tried to hop step, go up for the layup. And before you know it, I came down on someone's foot and I broke my ankle and my leg. So here we are, fast forwarding 8 months, 9 months later. I got a plate and 8 screws in my ankle. But, you know, little war wound ain't never stopped nobody. So again, I'm going to be back at Syracuse and I'm definitely going to shake the place up, man, for sure.
Man, I'll be the first to admit, I did not believe that you really broke your ankle, bro. I remember telling you, like, yo, bro, just take it easy. Sit down for a minute. You like, nah, bro, why are you so fidgety? Just sit out for a minute. You're like, nah, you know, something not right. I look up, and you on your way out the gym. And I'm just like, damn.
You know, man, I remember calling you from the hospital, man. I'm laying in the hospital bed. I'm like, man, they just brought these x-rays back here. It's a done deal, man. It's a done deal.
Just snap that half. You got to pull up. Come school me.
Hey, man. But shout out to my man, Rob, because through that whole process, he had my back. He looked out for me, made sure your boy got around, made sure I could maneuver a little bit. Shout out Sharif, Michelle, other people who was looking out throughout that process. So, man, long time coming, and we back. And it all starts right here on the Believe Podcast Network.
That's a fact, bro. It's all love, bro. It was my pleasure. I couldn't leave a brother behind because I don't know how I feel. I've never like really even physically hurt myself like that. So I can't even tell you or understand how you felt. I just know how to be a good friend. So just wanted to keep you in the loop with everything and we lit, bro. We back in the building.
That's why you my brother, man. Let's get into it.
You know it. McCall Maker withdraws from the NBA draft. He's fully committed to Howard, you know, so that's going to be a huge thing. The NBA coaches of the year have finally came out. Mike Budenholzer and Billy Donovan have finally racked in those awards. And we're going to give a couple of teams that you guys should look out for. And now that the AAU circuit is not happening, there's a lot of college commitments that are happening quickly. So we're going to break down those for you guys as well, too. So, Troy, tell me this. McCall Maker is fully out of the NBA draft. He's locked into Howard. We're going to see that man in D.C., suited up and ready to go in the fall. What are we going to look forward to? Like, what do we have to look forward to with this man suiting up this year?
Well, this is a big move for McCormaker and for Howard University. I mean, I think it was a good decision for him to withdraw, give himself the opportunity to grow physically and mentally. And then again, it's great for the history that he's making by becoming the highest ranked player to commit to a HBCU. So I think to have all that in one and knowing what's at stake here, you know, how much anticipation it is for him to join this HBCU at Howard and represent for the culture and to give himself the time to grow and develop. A lot of times these players tend to rush their decision on moving to the NBA. As you see, it becomes a one-stop shop when you talk about going to college and on to the professional level. And I think for him, I think this is going to be a great experience to allow him to nurture his game, to work on his weaknesses, and to potentially put himself in a position to be a higher draft pick next year. So I think it's a good move for McCormaker staying at Howard, and I'm definitely excited to see what he's going to do and how he's going to change the face of college basketball joining his HBCU at Howard.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. We've touched on this before, but there was a lot of back and forth before because a lot of people were saying that he probably just committed to Howard and wasn't even really going to go now that he entered his name into the 2020 draft at the time. But for him to make a statement like that, I always felt if you were going to commit to the school, you weren't just going to get us hyped up about you committing and not go. I always felt like he really was going to go. I think that would really take away from him making the commitment, you know, just to have it on paper. But to actually wear the Howard jersey is it puts him in a whole nother conversation now. Right. For me, that's your actions following up with your words. Right. So Correct. Me just signing my name on the line and saying I'm going to go there but never suit up in the jersey, it's kind of like a hype beast type of thing. You know, you got everyone excited for no reason and never played. But now that we're going to have the chance to see him in a Howard University jersey for a full year, that's going to be crazy to see as well, too. So very excited for McCormaker to make that move. And he's impacted the entire landscape of college basketball for years to come. So very happy to see that.
Yeah, it's going to be big. And again, we're still waiting to see what you're going to do, Mikey Williams. Yeah, are you going to join this?
Man, we waiting.
You know, we waiting to see what some of these other talents going to do. There's still a lot of young talent out there waiting to commit. So who's to say? If this HBCU trend can continue to prevail, then who knows? Who may be joining him at Howard or joining another HBCU? But that's to be continued.
Unfortunately, we lost a four-star recruit this past weekend. His name is Fadante J.B. White, the 18-year-old, played at Santa Fe High School. And he was shot and killed Saturday morning, according to the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office. JB was the most highly recruited basketball player since Nick Pino back in the early 1960s. And JB White's killer actually was a 16-year-old as well. His name is Estefan Montoya. He was arrested and charged with a first-degree murder. So JB White's last year, in high school, he averaged 20 points and 10 boards. And during his sophomore year, he managed to will his team to the state finals for the first time in 41 years, and he was a commit to New Mexico State. So this is very alarming. It's a sad thing to hear for the basketball community, I would say, and sorry to see that we lost one of our rising stars.
Yeah, we definitely want to send our condolences to the family and of the friends of JB White. It's just such an unfortunate situation when you see someone this young and this talented be taken away so early. I think that it's a big loss for the basketball world and just in general to lose someone so young and so talented. I think that it just shows that we have to continue to grow. We have to continue to educate. We have to continue to be there for one another, and we have to stop the violence that's continuing to arise and to take people who don't deserve this. They just that simple. They don't deserve this. And I think that that's our duty. That's our job to educate young, to make sure that we stay on top of what we need to do to stop all this violence. And I think we have to continue to be advocates for that. And again, I want to send the condolences to JB White, his family, his friends. And I know this is a tough loss for New Mexico State also.
Absolutely. And the saddest thing too is just to give everyone a little bit more background, he got shot at a party. These type of situations are always when someone's like kind of having fun and recreational time in, and he was a great kid, like, you know, the regular story that we hear. And all of us, we just need to be more careful, especially the younger athletes, when you have a lot at risk. You know, you're a Division I athlete, not putting any pressure on him or say he did anything wrong, but they have to be more cognizant and know that they can't do the same things that their friends do. You know, if your friends mm-hmm. are party animals, there are some people that genuinely don't want to see you win. You know, that's just how some people mm-hmm. are, you know, and these young athletes have to be very aware of that early. Because like me and you have spoke before, you can't they can't use Instagram the same way that their friends use Instagram because they're brands. Right.
Correct.
So just to all of the young athletes out there, be aware of your surroundings. Know that you have a lot at risk. Everyone's life matters, but you just have to be very aware of your situation. Right. So that's really my spiel on that.
And you have to understand, too, with success comes jealousy. We're talking about a high-ranked athlete here, someone who was committed mm-hmm. to go play Division I basketball. So unfortunate as it is, there's not everyone doesn't want to see you win. Or everyone
literally,
you're
not.
Everyone doesn't care about the path of success that you may be able to go down. A lot of times that creates envy, that creates hate. And again, I think that this becomes a situation where we just have to take a step back and realize that violence is not the way to go. And we have to continue to help one another and educate one another. And we have to stop this violence that's going on here in this country.
Yeah, 100%, brother. I agree with you. The Big Ten Freshman of the Year, Kofi Cockburn, withdrew from the 2020 NBA draft as well. Those who don't know, he played alongside Cole Anthony at Oak Hill. He was a great addition to Oak Hill. They had a great year and a great season while they played together as well. And alongside him, Colorado point guard McKinley Wright, which was a solid point guard as well, withdrew from the 2020 NBA draft as well to lace up for his last ride for Buff Nation. The Colorado Buffalo, they actually ended last year on 21-11, and he averaged about 14 points. So it's going to be good to see what those two guys do in this upcoming season as they go and continue to help their programs, just, you know, as they fight to push for that NCAA tournament next year.
Yeah, that is going to be great. But two guys that withdrew from the draft that stood out to me would have to be one, Jared Butler of Baylor and Remy Martin of Arizona State University. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be great for Jared Butler to rejoin his team. The Baylor's actually a pretty good team. They're the second team in the Big 12. They're second behind Kansas, two games behind them, actually. He averaged about 16 points, three rebounds, three assists. So I think his attributes to that program is definitely going to be needed, and I think it's going to give him another time to, you know, to understand his strengths, his weaknesses. I read up on him, and he said that he did get an opportunity to talk to coaches and really, you know, develop a rapport with them where they kind of could tell him the things that he needed to work on, aspects that he could grow at. So I think that he's really taken that advice in stride, and now he's looking forward to going back and joining his team. And Remy Martin, him joining Arizona State for his senior year, I think that that's going to be big. He's a talent. Not to mention the talent that they just got to commit, Josh Christopher, who is mm-hmm. arguably
Josh Christopher, arguably
the top ranked guard coming out this year. So I think that alongside Remy Martin, Josh Christopher, Alonzo Verge Jr., I think having those three at that program, I think that they're going to really make a push coming out of the Pac-12. So I'm eager to see these two guys rejoin their teams. And I also saw Michigan State Aaron Henry decided to withdraw from the draft. I think that that was a very smart move on his behalf. I don't think he was necessarily ready, still needed to grow a little bit mentally and physically, develop his game and kind of figure out what his niche is going to be. He's a great talent, very athletic, can be explosive at times, but I think he struggles sometimes to be comfortable in his game and to know his role. So I think that that's going to be good for him to return as well.
I have a confession. When we talk about people going into the league, and withdrawing as well, when Jason Tatum committed to going to the NBA draft, I didn't think he was ready. He had a good year at Duke. His stats in front of me right now, but he had a solid year. But something in his game, I really thought that he would have been better off staying another year. He didn't look like a one and done to me at all. But just to see that young man, I believe he's going into his third year now, just to see him be an all-star last year, this year actually, and just to see the impact that he's had on the Celtics has been amazing to see. So that just goes to show sometimes we're wrong about these players, you know? Sometimes their ceiling is way higher than we think or can see, and they ended up being way more of a standout than we think they're going to be.
I agree. I would have to say I thought the same thing about Trae Young when he was coming out of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, me too. I did not believe in Trae Young at all, bro. I didn't. It was too early, I felt.
And it wasn't that I didn't believe in him. I knew that he was very talented. very talented, very skilled, but I was just a little concerned how his game would transition from the college level to the NBA level. It's such a big difference. The defense is different. Your style of play has to shift a little bit, your aggressiveness. So I think that I was a little worried as far as how his game was going to convert to the NBA level. But as you can see, he's definitely proved us all wrong that he's with 1,000% ready for the NBA as he's been playing and dominating at his level. Arguably become one of the top three, top five guards in the league. And he's only been in the league about two seasons. So to make that type of push that fast, he's definitely silenced the critics.
It's not that, like you were saying, it's not that he wasn't talented to me. He averaged like 27 points.
Correct.
Well, he went to Oklahoma, Alabama.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, he went to Oklahoma. And like he had not even the green light. He had the purple light at Oklahoma. Like he could shoot from wherever. He was stepping over half court, doing what he wanted to do. I just thought that the league was going to be way more physical for him, and that was going to have to make him adjust, like you were saying. But I guess maybe the fact that the NBA is a little bit softer now than how it was back in the day. Because back in the day, Dennis Rodman would have just threw him into the front stands or something like that, and that just would have been the end of that. They would have slowed him down. But yeah, he's silky smooth, bro. I can't knock him at all.
Agreed.
So we really pushed to understanding that since there's no AAU play really happening this summer, or not a lot, that has pushed a lot of athletes to committing to college way earlier than they were supposed to. Read up on this New York Times article, and it talked about how, I believe, a young player, he actually is from here in Long Island. His name is Jordan Riley. He goes to Brentwood High School, and he committed to Georgetown, right? On Friday that just passed, went up to Georgetown, looked at the school, didn't even get to meet Patrick Ewing, but just connecting with them through via Zoom and phone calls. And his father said that he was just receiving too many phone calls. And quote, he said he got 30 phone calls in a day, and he just said it was too much. So that influenced him to make the decision quicker, right? So when we see all of these kids committing early, it's because they're not sure which way the programs are going to go. So we're saying that to say just not the coronavirus has really shifted where the recruitment for these schools and how quickly they have to recruit and who they need to grab. So it's just been amazing to see, like, seeing Amani Bates commit 2 years early. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Not the norm. Usually we'll wait till junior year or the end of the senior year. And to see them committing so early, the coronavirus has really had a heavy impact on that.
Yeah, it has. I think what a lot of people don't understand about AAU is AAU became the outlet at times, which became the pathway for some of these talents to get scholarships. I know that high school ball had become a level of exposure for them, but a lot of people don't realize is a lot of the coaches come watch these kids at their AAU games. Mm-hmm. You know, so that a lot of the times wavers why now these kids are committing so early, because you don't have that AAU time frame anymore to get that extra exposure, to get that extra time to may have this school come watch you or have this college team come out and check you out. So with not having that exposure now from the AAU, it now puts you in a box where you have to say, where am I going now? You know what I mean? You have to kind of make a decision right now. And I think that I think that is good. I think that these kids should start committing a little bit earlier and not waiting to the last minute or just jumping on board.
Oh, you feel like they should, like this should be the norm.
I mean, because the thing is, your mind can always change.
Right.
That's the thing. Your mind can always change. You can, like you said, you didn't necessarily think Imani Bates would go to Michigan State and or stay at Michigan State. But me personally, I think that he is, based on the love and the support that he's been getting from that school over these years. So I think that the earlier you commit, the longer it allows you to build your relationship and your rapport with that school and with those coaches before you get there. So okay. I think that's great. You know what I mean? And I'm in support of it. But again, if kids would like to, you know, wait till after AAU ball or after the season is up to give themselves that extra time, that extra exposure, I'm all for that too.
Yeah. I just think you make a great point. It's just me personally. I don't think Imani Bates is, I feel like he's too high caliber of a player. Not to say he shouldn't be there. He's earned it. But 2 years when he's looking at that cap for the G League may increase. By the time he get there, it could be $800,000 with the way the NBA is pulling in money. It's 2 years, right? So that $500,000 can shoot up. And I don't think Imani Bates is going to give up $800,000 or $700,000 to suit up at Michigan State. But to your point, because he's cultivated that relationship. A man's word is all he has. So if he says he's going to go there, then I'm all for it. I think he should do it, you know?
I'm 1,000% in that he will play and suit up at Michigan State. I don't think you could put a dollar amount on that loyalty and that love between Tom Izzo, Michigan State, and Imani Bates. I truly believe that kid is going to play at Michigan State in 2 years. Watch out.
Something we always have to remember is your thought process is always a little biased because you went to Michigan State. It's always be that way.
It could be that. It could not be. But I know one thing. Imani Bates will be in East Lansing. I know that.
Okay. Say less. You know what? If that's the case, we can put up a bet right now. Here's the bet.
What you want to bet?
Talk to you, because I know you could get in the building. I know you have no problem getting there. But I'll buy me and you tickets personally to go see him play if he goes. And if not, you gotta get us tickets when he gets to the G League of the NBA.
That's fair.
I feel like that's fair. That's fair.
That's a bet.
It's only right because with Imani Bates going to Michigan State, you know what those tickets are gonna do? They're going all the way up. I mean, not to compare him to Zion, but he's box office. I mean, he's exciting. Yeah, he's box office for sure. You know what I mean?
But in sports, 2 years is kind of a long time.
That's a long time, bro. You know that.
It is.
You know that's a long time.
You just got to take it a season at a time, a year at a time. And in 2 years, when we circle back on this conversation in our bet, I'm going to just love when you call me and say that you've already ordered the tickets or you're here, you got them, and we're heading to Lansing. I'll be waiting on that.
Because you know how we do. We just get it done. You know, like before that, when that Lakers-Clippers game was over, I didn't even text you. The money was in my account already. You know how that go.
It was in your account before the game was over, all right?
You know how that go. When we think about high school teams now and how high school basketball has developed, right, I don't really like the concept of these young players pairing up with each other to create young. I don't like the super teams term, but putting so much talent on one team. High school is supposed to be a developmental stage. So you don't need Zaire Wade, Bronny James, Brandon Boston, BJ Boston, and Amir Bailey all on one team. Because now I feel like you're conditioning them to think that this is how it's supposed to be when you get to the NBA. Right. When we go back a little bit, you're a few years younger than me, but back in the NBA, early 90s, there were like two top dogs on the team. Some teams had one. Right. We could give you examples. We had Shaq and Kobe. Iverson was a one man band. Vince Carter was holding it down. Vince Carter and AI used to damn near kill each other.
Yeah, they did.
Right. Damn near. That used to be like one of the craziest player friends to ever see. And we can even go back with the Milwaukee Bucks when it was Ray Allen. That's Ray Allen with the fade. Jesus Shuttlesworth, right? He had Glenn Robinson, right?
Jesus!
That's what I'm saying. So my point really is I don't understand why they're trying to develop so much talent. Like, space out the talent. Everybody put their team on their back. You know, everyone's going to develop. They're going to have their key players. But to have five of the top athletes in a certain class on one team, for what? Like, that's taken away from your game.
I think that this is no different than us not liking super teams in the NBA. I think that it kind of bores you out. You much rather see these young talents compete against each other than to play on the same team with each other. And again, I think that it is nice that they can pair up, they can form these dynasties at the high school level. But how are you going to be able to develop and play against the best as an opponent if all the best people are on your team? So right. I think if you want to truly grow and you truly want to play against the best, then you guys can't all be pairing up and trying to make super teams or dynamic duos is okay at the high school
level. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with two, because you need two strong people to win a championship.
Anyway. Yeah, dynamic duos, I mean, that's something that could be argued, but forming
three,
like
– 4 or 5?
Yeah, forming like all-star teams. I just think at the high school level, I much rather see these young talents face off against each other. But again, if it works for them, then all for it. But I much rather see Zaire Wade and Bronny James face off than play together. But that's just me.
Oh yeah, I can't knock that anymore. And I have to really blame social media for this to some extent, you know, because that chip on their shoulder that they should have. I saw Bronny on the gram with Sharif O'Neal and the younger brother. And there's nothing wrong with having a relationship, but like that chip on their shoulder that they would have, I feel like they're very friendly, very buddy buddy. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, y'all are supposed to be not enemies, but like y'all supposed to be preparing to battle against each other when this season comes up. Like
that, and again, you could compare that to the NBA then when the guys do the jersey swap at the end of the game. Like,
I feel like that's a sign of respect, though. I like that.
I mean, I do, but if this guy just gave me 30, I don't want his
Nah, I feel that.
I don't want his jersey.
Nah, I feel you. I feel that too.
Then you got the guys that are like not even stars or at the end of the bench wanting to swap jerseys. Like, look, bro.
That really y'all started with D-Wade. When D-Wade
Do it in the tunnel. Do it after the game when y'all break bread. But if I just watched y'all go hard at each other for 48 plus minutes,
I do not want to see you taking that.
I don't want to see y'all swap the jerseys at the end. I want to see y'all walk off like Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys did against the Chicago Bulls. You feel me? Like, I want you to walk off like I'm getting him next time. Like, not, oh, well, he gave me 30, but can I get your jersey?
Can you sign my jersey?
I don't want to see that. I don't. But again, I have to agree with what you said. It is a sign of respect, and yeah. I can't take away that. If you respect somebody enough to allow him to give you 30 and then take his jersey home, then hey,
you're a different man than me.
That is respect, because I ain't got that type of respect. I'm smack the jersey out your hand.
This is true. So the NBA Coach of the Year, man, Mike Budenholzer and Billy Donovan, they managed to pull it in neck and neck. It was almost a three-way tie with Nick Nurse as well. He was shot by one vote. That's tough. One vote. And that hurts. But Nick Nurse definitely is still in the conversation.
They snubbed him, man.
They could have threw a little extra paper vote in there for him.
Look, man, come on, man. The way all this voting and these ballots and all, you don't know who to trust.
It's crazy.
Now, you know? Y'all snub my mans, but no, big shout to Mike Budenholzer. He's been doing a terrific job with the Milwaukee Bucks. They have the best overall NBA record with 53 wins, 13 losses, and they're first in the East. And shout out to Billy Donovan. He's definitely been able to make things happen down there in OKC after losing his top talents in Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Yeah.
OKC looks good.
He's been
Chris
able
Paul
to
got them right. They on the TV right now.
Yeah.
Okay, you see, looks got, good. I came in front.
They got Chris Paul. They have Dennis Schroeder. He just
recently Shea Gilgis.
For the birth of his child. They still have the big man, Steven Adams. So I think he's done a terrific job down at OKC. I know that they're still six in the West, 41 wins, 24 losses. But he's definitely making a push, and he's done a great job with holding it down and using the talent that he has, especially playing in a tough conference like the West. So big shout out to both of those coaches. Those are well-deserved.
So the Lakers and the Clippers, season opener. Back to me and you again. Lakers-Clippers, we back here again, baby. We here, right?
Yeah, we here.
It was a great game. I'm not going to pull your leg. 103-101 Lakers. Paul George had 30 and 5, 6 of 11 from 3. Kawhi had 28 and 4. AD had 34 and 8. Bron 16 and 11. LeBron looked like he was in the league for 17 years. In that game, to me, that's how he looked. He looked like he was started off a little slow, and I think he's gonna need a little bit of time to dust it off a little bit. He has to shake that rust off. He didn't look bad. He just wasn't in his best form. But then it's like you kind of have to look back at his greatness, and for us to say that he wasn't, or for me to say he wasn't in his best form, is for him to still have 16 and 11 when he's back in tip-top shape. We already know what he's given us. Easy 25 and 10. Right. So my favorite part of the game, as I told you before, is Bron steps in. I believe he hit a three from the left wing or a jump shot, I believe it was, and then came down on the other end for the defensive switch. Took Kawhi first, made him give the ball up, and then took PG. I thought that was sensational. You can't knock that. They say he shies away from the big moment, and he did it on both sides.
Well, again, when we talk about LeBron, it's never been a question on if he was going to do things defensively and or offensively. We know that he is just a true stud, and it's a natural born talent to be able to score at a prolific level, but also to be terrific on defense too. We've seen him make some of the best defensive plays in history, actually championship plays to on defense to win championships. So
absolutely,
I've never questioned that. But one thing I've been able to learn and or watch is the Lakers do so much better when the offense is ran through Anthony Davis. And I think now LeBron is starting to figure that out. It allows him now to sit back a little bit on the offensive end and allows him to now get boards. It allows him to now dish out assists. It doesn't put as much pressure on him as it should be. When you have someone like Anthony Davis, who you saw in that game, had 34 points and 8 rebounds, that if LeBron could take a load off a little bit and allow it, that offense to run through AD, I think that that will be the catalyst in which why this team will win a championship. Because it doesn't always have to be on LeBron. And then you have the help of your guys off the bench. Kyle Kuzma's been coming into a groove. I saw he had 16 points in that game. Dwight Howard, he kind of struggled so far as what's been going on here. But Deion Waiters has been a good pickup. J.R. Smith has been a good pickup. So I think getting those guys into a groove alongside with the star-studded talent you have with AD and LeBron, I think that this team is on the path of a championship. But I do think that when the offense is ran through AD, it flows so much better and it allows LeBron to take some off and not have that much pressure on him. And I think when LeBron is able to be comfortable and to be in a form to where he can now not have to feel like he has to take over every moment of the game, then you see things flow a little bit naturally and then you see them get victories like they did against the Clippers. But since we're on the subject of the Lakers, let's talk about the Lakers and the Raptors.
Hold on. 1 second. Huh? You're going to get to that. Hold on. I got a little bit more to talk to you about.
Okay.
Essentially, what you're telling me is that if the offense runs through Anthony Davis, they're a better team.
Correct.
That's what you're telling me?
1,000%.
So you don't think that him and LeBron should both be on go at all times? You feel AD should get going first and then LeBron starts up as well?
Well, it depends on if you're talking about scoring, if you're talking about getting points, I think that that should be led by Anthony Davis because LeBron can do so much more. LeBron is great at facilitating. He's a floor general. I think that he's great at spacing the floor, obviously, being able to control the pace. So I think that that's the lane that you allow LeBron to be in. And then you allow the scoring aspect come from Anthony Davis, who can dominate down low, under the basket, on the block, who can stretch the floor, play from the perimeter, who can face up and knock down the 15, 20-foot jump shot. So I think you allow his game to become the forefront of the offense and then allow LeBron to flow into it because LeBron is dominant. LeBron can go get a bucket whenever you need him to, but when you need that consistent flow of offense, I think Anthony Davis has shown that when it's ran through him and he is the leader, they win. You saw that the other night. Anthony Davis struggled. I think he only had 7 points. They lost against the Raptors. So I think when you have him playing at a high level, I think that that then allows LeBron to now piggyback on his offensive game and flow a little bit better as far as distributing ball, rebounding, and getting other guys involved as well.
Yeah, Anthony Davis, sometimes he falls in love with his jump shot too much for me. He's a great scorer. He can shoot. But I think sometimes he doesn't attack the basket enough first and then works his way out to the three-point line or to the free throw line to get the jump shots going. But I think what's really going to be crucial for the Lakers when we're talking about winning, Kyle Kuzma had 16, Deion Waiters had 11, and J.R. Smith had 0 points. Those three people, including Danny Green, though, between those four, that's like an easy 50 points off the bench that they can be getting between those four guys. So me and you both know when it comes down to playoff basketball, the game slows down. And your role players are just as important as their star players because the role players need to do what they do best, what are their strong attributes. So those four players for me are really going to be the difference makers in the Lakers' success because LeBron is going to do what he's going to do. AD is going to be there. Yeah. And JaVale McGee just has to stay away from doing dumb shit and yeah, he'll be fine.
I agree. I still believe in the Lakers. I still believe that they're going to win this year's championship, but I still feel like there's things that needed to be learned, and now you're able to learn and grow because you're now playing games. It's easy to go through walkthroughs and practice and to see things, but once you guys are out there in a game setting and it's game time, it allows you to see what you need to work on, who you're comfortable playing with, who you need to form a better rapport with, and you've been able to see that. I've seen LeBron trust JaVale McGee a lot more this season than he
way
did
more
way or since the restart than he did prior to the restart. But JaVale McGee has also grown. He's got a lot smarter. His IQ has grown. He tends to play at a steady pace. He doesn't fall too far out of his comfort zone as far as doing things that are not within his realm of doing. So I think that when you do things like that and when you continue to grow, now those star players now believe in you. So it's all a growing process. J.R. Smith, he's still trying to find a groove and get himself implemented. Deion Waiters, he's getting comfortable. His confidence is getting high. I've seen him taking some confidence.
He loved to shoot threes too.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah, I see him be aggressive, get to the basket, take some shots, clutch shots down the stretch. Obviously, he's still repping for Syracuse too. Go Orange. Yeah. So I think that it's good. We're going to see how it all works out. But it's still early in this process, and they still have time before the playoffs really get going.
As crazy as things are now too with what happened with Deion Waiters, I have to say, I would have loved to see him stay in Miami. He might have been a piece that would have brought it all together. When you look at Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, you don't think so?
I don't.
Too much?
I think where he's at is what he needs to be.
His best friend?
I think Deion, at a point, would have probably looked at it like, I'm the OG here.
With Jimmy Butler, yeah.
I'm the OG here, and you guys follow my lead.
And Jimmy Butler not having that.
Opposed to being on a team like the Lakers, where you're going to have to find your role and fit into this puzzle. You know what I mean? Like, being with the Lakers, you now have to fit in with LeBron, because you know you're not going to come first to LeBron. Over LeBron, you know you're not going to come first over AD. So it allows him to now humble himself, find his groove, and figure out where he's best in that system. I think it wouldn't have worked being down in Miami with guys like Jimmy Butler, like you said, and the younger guys. I think him being with older, more mature, seasoned guys now allows him to have that mindset and to grow, opposed to being with younger guys and trying to nurture and grow with them. So I think that it's a great situation for him being in Los Angeles.
What's that, my brother? All right, so you was excited to talk Lakers-Raptors. Go ahead, Troy. Go ahead. Talk to us about it.
Kyle Lowry? Can we get that man a hand? 33
points? I'll give him a slow clap.
Hold on. 33 points, 14 rebounds, and 6 assists? Come on, man. AD only had 14 points, 6 rebounds. Brian had a cool 20 and 10, but it was not enough for Kyle Lowry. And big shout out to OG Adonobi, who had 23 points and had the tough task guarding LeBron James. You know, I think when we get into this topic of discussing teams on who we should be on the lookout for, I'm going Raptors in the East. And I know you still got to worry about Milwaukee. I know you still have to have your eyes open for Boston and Miami and Philly, but Toronto, they're forced to be reckoned with. And I feel like a lot of people sleep on them because they feel like, well, Kawhi's gone now. What are they going to do? But they're setting the record straight and letting people know, we were good before we got here. Don't sleep. And then you see Pascal Siakam. They weren't?
I don't agree. They were decent.
They weren't decent.
They were decent. Kawhi Leonard was the icing on the cake. They took them over the hump. You know this is true.
Before Nick Nurse was there, who just got – No, they were struggling. How were they struggling? Dwayne Casey got coach of the year for coaching the Raptors. They were not terrible. They were actually a great team. They were a playoff team the year before Kawhi got there. Kawhi obviously became the catapult to get them over the hump and win a championship, but they didn't get Kawhi didn't go join a team who was not in playoff contention or was losing team. They were a winning team. They were a playoff winning team, and they had the coach of the year, Dwayne Casey. He left, went to the Pistons. They got Nick Nurse, who's been in the conversation of being coach of the year. They won a championship with Kawhi. He left. They're still on the pace of being in the playoffs this year. You can't tell me this team don't need to be watched out for, man. This team epitomizes what it is to be a team, because every piece on that team is of value. When you talk about Kyle Lowry, when you talk about OG Adonobi, when you talk about Serge Ibaka, Mark Gasol, what I mean? Norman Powell. So everyone has their role, and I feel like this epitomizes what a team is, because there's no one on that team that I could say is a star. I think Kyle Lowry is an all-star talent. I think he's great, but I think he's not as good as
he's not a superstar.
Without those other pieces around him. So I think that they epitomize what it is to actually be a team. and to really put all the pieces together to form something good. And I'm just excited to see what they're going to do making this playoff push.
Sure, they were a good team. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But they just kept on running into LeBron every year. You know what I'm saying? DeMar DeRozan just couldn't get it done. You see what I'm saying? So when I think about the Raptors, I think of a team that just wasn't good enough. They are a well-rounded team, but having all of those pieces, I don't think is enough for them to win. They just became a winning team last year, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and getting to the second round of the playoffs, it's to me, semifinals, it's just not enough. You see what I'm saying? DeMar DeRozan, he's a good player, but I don't know what it was with his style of play. Him and Kyle Lowry have a great relationship. I had a great, mm-hmm. great relationship. And those two together, I just think couldn't get it done because he didn't have the dog mentality. Like Kawhi Leonard just came in and meant business. Like you immediately saw the difference in the team. All of the pieces were the same. Van Fleet was there. Siakam was there. Everybody was there. A couple of minor adjustments.
Can I tell you the difference? Can I tell you
Nick
the difference?
Nurse was there too.
Can I tell you the difference? Go ahead. Championship experience. Kawhi Leonard had already had two championships and a finals MVP before he got to Toronto. So that was the missing piece that they didn't have. DeMar DeRozan, yes, he was a skilled player.
He had one chip.
Ooh.
Kawhi had one before Toronto.
Okay, so he had one before Toronto and a finals MVP. I stand corrected. But again, he still had championship experience.
He did, and that makes a difference.
So I think having a good team and then putting a superstar with championship talent on that team, I think that that's just a recipe for something great. And we saw that last year with the Toronto Raptors winning their first ever championship. So I think that was the only difference, you know, him being able to have that mindset and to be clutch down the stretch or to have the confidence to take big shots on big moments. I think that was the difference when you talk about Kawhi Leonard being a Toronto opposed to DeMar DeRozan. And again, I think it all worked out how it was supposed to. Kawhi went there. He led the team. He did what he needed to do. He surpassed. He's now moved on to the Clippers. But again, we still see the Toronto Raptors doing well. So I'm just looking forward to see what they're going to be able to do as the season progresses and as we get closer to the playoffs.
Celtics Blazers, 128-124. Biggest lead of the game. Celtics had them down by 24. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Celtics fan. I don't know what the Celtics were doing, how they blew that lead. Mm-hmm. But Dame is my favorite player right now. And that man means business. Like, I believe, I wish I had the stat in front of me. I think he had like 5 or 7 points in the first half and just shot up like 20, 23 points in the second half. He finished strong. He did finish with 30. Jason Tatum got hot early, but Jaylen Brown brought him home. So Tatum had 34-8. Jaylen Brown had 30.6 boards. Gordon Hayward slipped in there and gave him a quiet 22, right? So I think the Celtics need to do a better job of playing defensively. They can't continue to let teams back into games like that. Correct. I mean, we know you always have that huge lead that happens early in the game sometimes, and then the game just gets tighter down the line. That does happen, but there's no way you lose a 24-point lead and only win by 4. Or maybe that just speaks to how good the Blazers played. But I just think they need to do a better job defensively. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, the Celtics have a huge leisure of having both of them on the team. Because when you're not getting one thing from another, you get it from the other one. And when you have both of them on, I think they had a huge stat that said when Jaylen Brown scores over 25 points, they don't lose. I believe that's what the stat was. So, yeah, I think it's a huge deal that they have both of them because they can interchange of using both of them.
So, and I agree, but I have to ask you the question because I did hear you say that Damian Lillard is your favorite player.
He's the best point guard in the league, too.
So, what do you feel about him not taking the three to tie the game and instead passing it to Nurkic for the layup and them being down one, opposed to going Dame time and taking the three to tie the game? How do you feel about that?
I thought it was a bad decision. I think that maybe they were thinking score first, which is what they did, and then they didn't foul after. But Dame usually takes that shot. I'm not sure why he did that. I'm not sure if that was a coach's decision where he said, go in and just give me a bucket real quick, foul, and then we get it back. I'm not sure if they had any more fouls to give left on the board. But it was a bad decision, to answer your question, because Damian Lillard is their guy, playing along CJ McCollum, and Dame has to take that shot. Not to mention he was dropping threes all quarter, and the quarter before that. He was going crazy, literally. So, Dame, you don't leave that moment and not take that shot. Why? Because we feel better with you missing that shot with the game on the line. You're our man. You have to take that shot.
And I would agree. I feel like this is a position we've seen him in before, and I feel like this is a position we've seen him prevail in before. So I think that with the skill set and the confidence that Damian Lillard has, I think you have to come off the screen and take that shot. It was smart to, you know, get the quick
bucket.
That was a LeBron pass. You know, it was, you know what I mean? And it was open. He was wide open. So you can't say it was a bad decision, but you can always argue that I'd much rather Dame have taken that shot and us went for it all than to lose on a layup.
By one point like that.
That essentially didn't put us back in the game anyway. So exactly. I much rather see Dame come off and take that shot. But again, I'm sure that he's kicking himself in the butt about not taking that shot. And I'm sure if that opportunity presents itself again, we won't have to worry about what he's going to do. We know. Trust me.
And what I have to say about Dame, too, as well, with him being my favorite player in the league right now, my biggest thing with him is I don't believe that he makes people around him better. He's a go-getter. Like we talked before, he's one of those silent leaders. He comes in, he's going to give you a hot 30. And he's going home. But he had 16 assists on Sunday. I thought that was huge. He got everybody involved. Huge shout out to him on that. And I can't expect Dame to average 16 assists every game. It would be great. But I think he needs to keep that same mentality, because if Dame has 30 and he's dished off 15 assists, which we can say at minimum would have been at least 30 points, which means other people around him are hot now. It helps him in the end if he needs somebody to knock down the big shot for him, right? So Dame needs to continue to get his teammates involved and continue to be the superstar he is, because he has Portland on the map. Even though right now they're out of the playoff position by like 2.5 games, they can't afford to lose any more games as well.
Yeah, and they have a tough schedule moving forward. And I think that he has to learn to not settle. I feel like he settled a lot in that game. Out of 20 shots, 14 of those were three-pointers. I think that
he loved that three ball. He loves it.
He's a dog at getting to the basket, finishing with contact, finishing with acrobatic finishes. I think that he's great getting to the basket. So I want to see him do that a little bit more, you know, and not settle so much for the three ball. Because if he does that, I think they come out victorious in this win. Because Boston did give up a big lead. And for them to come that far, I feel like if he's a little bit more aggressive on attacking the basket, they win.
I agree 100%. Jonathan Isaac, unfortunately, the forward off of the Orlando Magic, happens to tear his ACL after like really battling injury before that as well in terms of his knee. We see a lot of people saying, you know, some funny things about him because he's been standing up for the national anthem. And just a huge shout out to Jonathan Isaac. We wish you a speedy recovery. He's been bowling. He's been doing his thing, you know, assistant Aaron Gordon and putting Markelle Fultz on the MAC. Huge shout out to him. Knocked down that deep. That wasn't even a half court shot. That shot was like,
it was like 40 feet. Free throw line on the opposite end.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Huge shout out to Jonathan Isaac. Hope that he gets better. And that's going to be a season ending injury for sure. And it's going to be a tough road that he has to embark upon now.
Yeah, definitely want to send a huge shout out to Jonathan Isaac. We hope for a speedy recovery. And I've never experienced this, but just based on what we've seen in the league, it's never a pleasant injury to tear an ACL. And it's definitely always a tough recovery going through, you know, getting yourself back, going through rehab. And one thing I want to acknowledge is I hate the stigmatism of what people are saying on social media as if he deserved this because he's choosing to stand for the national anthem. Like everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has their own right, and everyone has their own reasoning. And I think that if he chooses to stand for the national anthem, if he chooses to voice his opinion whichever way he can, that's his right. So please stop the stigmatism that this man deserved this injury, because no one deserves that in no way, shape, or form. So we want to wish Jonathan Isaac a speedy recovery. Hopefully he'll be back soon.
That's just a real nasty thing for people to do, to wish that type of injury or pain on any human. You know, because like Correct. You were just saying, no one deserves that. But we're all human. We all have rights at the end of the day. And there's so many different ways to get to get to outcomes. You know, like you do things a certain way and I can do it too. Right. As long as we have the same goal in mind, then there's nothing wrong with that. And I think we just need to all do a better job of just respecting each other, because that's the most important thing. So huge shout out to him again. Troy, I just need you to tell me, man, what's on your mind, man?
Man, a lot of things.
What you got?
I got a lot of things. But I want to talk about the beautiful, the talented Meg Thee Stallion.
Yes.
I want to talk about Meg.
Let's talk about Meg, man.
I know she recently came out and spoke about the incident which resulted in her being shot in both of her feet. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was an emotional moment for her. You know, she cried, and you know, I think it's been a lot for her, because a lot of people have said negative things. And one thing you have to realize is when you're down, there's going to be people that's going to try to kick you. And I think that this was one of her lowest moments since, you know, growing so fast with her stardom. And I think it was great to see her open up and, you know, talk about that moment, because for some people that's a very, very traumatic experience to be shot. You know, and for her to be shot and to now be recovering and still, you know, want to maneuver and be a star. But I'm sure she has to now move with a lot more precaution. You know, I'm pretty sure her demeanor is a little bit different around certain people, you know, because of how she has to move now. So I think it was great for her to, you know, speak up on that. And again, we want to wish her, you know, a speedy recovery, because that's an unfortunate situation. And especially, you know, someone allegedly, you know, being shot by someone who you would consider to be a friend.
First off, I want to say, Meg, I love you, but
we love you. Meg.
We both love you, but I can't follow you on Instagram, because when I see you at 9 a.m. twerking, it makes my heart skip a beat. But I love you dearly, and I'm so sorry about what happened to you. I think as Black men, we also need to do a better job of guarding our women. You know what I'm saying? I saw, no shot to 50, but I saw 50 post that he didn't know that he hurt her feelings like that, and he was just reposting what happened. But that's just, it's distasteful. That's not a good move. You know what I mean?
And for 50, someone who's been a victim of gun violence, you should know that that's not.
It looks bad, you know?
You should know that that's not funny.
You know it's what? You know that, and
because you lucky social media wasn't around when your incident happened, because I'm sure you would have not liked to see people crack jokes or make fun of something that could have probably cost you your life. So
yeah, especially being shot 9 times, like that's not a joke. Mm-hmm. Being shot any amount of times is not a joke, and mm-hmm. goes back to what we were saying. We all deserve respect. There's a time to play, and there's a time, you know, to be serious about things. And the meme that he posted, if people really paid attention to, was, what was it? Boys in the Hood, I believe it was, when Ricky got shot in the alley. That was just a sad part in the movie anyway, seeing Morris mm-hmm. Chestnut go down like that. You know what I'm saying? He was supposed to go to the league. He was going to college to play football, and it was a bad look. So, you know, no hate towards 50, but I just think as Black men, we need to guard our queens better, prop them up, be there for them, support them. You know what I mean? And just be there when they need us. You know what I'm saying? Because it's important that we do that for them, because they have a lot to deal with themselves on a day-to-day basis.
You know, Meg, if you need anybody to, you know, rub your feet or, you know, do anything, you know, just let us know,
just
man.
A little foot rub, because I'm,
you know,
a
one or two of
guy.
Us will be there. I'm not. I'll but be there for you. I'm not. But for Meg, I might do it.
Not for Meg, I'm doing it. You know, all that. You know, me and Troy can come through, whatever y'all need. We'll cook everything. Mm-hmm. Whatever y'all need.
You'll cook.
I'll cook.
You'll cook. You know me. I might order us some grub or take it to a nice spot or something like that. You know, okay. I'm still working on my cooking skills. I ain't gonna cap back like I got it all together.
I feel that. Yo, so The Rock made a big purchase this weekend. What he bought?
The XFL.
Must be
Dwayne Rock Johnson, alongside a business partner of his, bought the XFL for $15 million. They split the deal down the middle between the two of them. And I think this is a great deal, especially for a business that was looking to auction off, you know, due to bankruptcy. So I think this is a big deal. And it just goes to show The Rock got his hands in everything. He got his hands in everything. And I think it just goes to show how he's continuing to grow and transition so far. So far past being a wrestler, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And I know that he does have a love for football. A lot of people don't know that he actually played football. He
played at the U.
At the University of Miami. Exactly. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is a love of his. So I think that it's great for him to put his money where his mouth is. And I'm looking forward to see what he's going to be able to do and how he's going to turn it around, because the XFL has a lot of potential. You know, it has a lot of young talent coming out of there. So I think if you got the right people putting in the right money, time, and energy into it, it could prosper. So I'm looking forward to seeing what The Rock's going to do now with this XFL.
Yeah, that's huge too. I remember The Rock in the Scorpion.
The Rock says.
And just to see where he's at now is crazy. You know, like he's the face of the Fast and the Furious now. It's just wild to see his whole career and all of the different Jumanjis he's made with Kevin Hart. He's done well, man. I can't knock that. It's been a pleasure to watch him work.
And I used to love wrestling, man. The Rock still has the all-time best intro outside of like Undertaker, Kane, Rey Mysterio, just to name a few. You know, The Rock says, The Rock, The Rock used to have me turned up, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, but
especially with the eyebrow too.
Yeah, man, I'll still be trying to do it. You feel me? But shout out to The Rock, man. He's doing his thing, and I'm proud of him for continuing to grow and to put his business in a lot of different avenues. We can act, you know. We got a little XFL team over here, mm-hmm. you know. He's not gonna stop, and I'm glad to watch this process and to see him continue to make this transition and grow. And so tell me I need his workout plan too. I ain't gonna lie, I need his workout plan. Bro,
his workout plan to have you out here with no neck.
Yeah, they're
looking crazy.
I need his workout plan. Though. I'm trying to lose a few, so you know, whatever you want, Rock. If it's natural, you know, I know a lot of people like to say they allegations.
Said if it's natural.
You know, a lot of people say the allegations, but I need to get a few off of me too. So I need to look into what he doing.
Did Kylie Jenner rent out a little spot because your boy D Book was playing ball or something like? What's the scoop on that?
See, this is the thing. I know they sisters, but you got to get the name right. It's Kendall.
I'm so
you
sorry.
You can't offend Travis now. You know what I mean?
You know, they two different people. Kylie, it's so many of them. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But no, Kendall. So
we talking
Jenner.
Kendall.
Kendall.
That's the model, the Slim John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Kendall Jenner rents out an entire sports bar to watch her boyfriend Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, they together now?
I mean, she ain't doing it just because she want to watch basketball. I'm sure she.
That's what D Book got to be careful.
I think he's smart enough, and I think he know the game. I think he know the game.
So no, D Book is on the incline of his career.
But how much love do you have to have for someone to rent out an entire sports bar to watch your man and his team, a team that's not that good and probably won't be in the playoffs, but to just that in itself, that's a true testament.
That's love. That's love.
That's love that you care. You know what I mean? To support me and my sorry team. That's great.
It's love, but she had the money to do it. You know, I feel like that's the type of thing. That's the type of thing that, come on, Troy, if you had Kardashian money, it's nothing for you to rent that out for you know. Oh, my girl's playing. I could go do that. It's a regular night out in the town. Everybody drinking and eating. You was going to spend that money anyway. I'm not playing down what she did. I'm just saying it was nothing for her to do to get it done. I mean,
sometimes when people invest their time, money, and energy It has to always be commended, because those are two. Those are some things that you have to want to give your time, your money, and your energy. So for her to do that, I commend.
So it's the thought that counts.
It's the thought that counts.
100%. I can't knock that.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's the come NBA on, man. Prospects on the Believe Podcast Network.
I'm yeah.
On one. T Rose is in the building. We appreciate y'all tuning in. Just to give y'all a quick scoop, y'all know we're on all streaming podcast platforms. So y'all tune in, pick your poison. Next Monday, we be back in the building.
Shout out my guy, Rob. And I want to thank you guys and continue to be believers. We'll be back at y'all next week, Monday.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.